Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I have many resources available to you. The strongest I'd recommend right now is my book, Deeper Conversion, which reflects on the Gospel of Matthew for the Sundays in Ordinary Time of this year. So the Sundays in Ordinary Time, they're about 35 Sundays in Ordinary Time during 2017. And I have a book entitled Deeper Conversion, which has a meditation for each one of those Sundays. If you go to our website and particularly go not just to renewalministries.net, but renewalministries.net/FFJ. You can see many of the resources that I have there. Some of them are free and some are for purchase. So I encourage you to take a look at renewalministries.net/FFJ. Today is the 23rd of January, and there is a new, what should I say? I don't want to say regulation, but a new setting aside of a day for a particular reason. January 22nd has always been the time of the March in Washington, D.C. for Life. And what the church is doing now in all the dioceses of the United States of America, January 22nd or January 23rd, when January 22nd falls on a Sunday. So it's either the 22nd or the 23rd, depending on when the 22nd falls. So this year, it's this Monday. It is a day of prayer for legal protection of the unborn. This is a day. It's always been an important day to us, but now it's fully established as a day of prayer for the legal protection of the unborn. It will always fall on January 22nd, except when January 22nd is a Sunday, and then it will be celebrated on the 23rd. Lord, our Creator, we give thanks to you who alone have the power to impart the breath of life, as you form each of us in our mother's womb. Grant, we pray, that we, whom you have made stewards, notice we're not owners, we're stewards of creation, may remain faithful to this sacred trust and constant in safeguarding the dignity of every human life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Make that prayer your own today. Let's pray that more and more people can receive the light that I've been speaking about the last few days, that they no longer walk in the darkness thinking that this is my body and that it's up to me. And for anyone who has had an abortion, to know that the mercy of God awaits you, not condemnation, mercy. But let's see if we can root it out of our lives, out of our society. May God give us the grace to pursue that. And prayer is actually the most important thing we can do. That's what's first. Prayer. Prayer that God would do for us what we don't seem to be able to do for ourselves. If there's a number of us crying out to the Lord will hear us and he will answer us. The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 15, and then 24 to 28. Christ is mediator of a new covenant. Since a death has taken place for deliverance from transgressions under the first covenant, a death has taken place for deliverance. Whose death? Christ. Those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. For Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. not that he might offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have to suffer repeatedly. That is, Christ would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. How often do you thank Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross? You should every day. That's my recommendation. It's not a rule. It's not a law. You can't legislate gratitude. But we ought to ask God for the gift to grow in gratitude and to thank him daily for the horrendous suffering and death he endured for you and me. Psalm 98, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds. As you express gratitude in your heart, it will overflow in song in you. And what a beautiful thing that is before the face of God. God hears you. Even if you don't think you have a good singing voice, God hears the beauty of your desire, and that translates into the beauty of music, even if we can't hear it yet. Thank him daily for what he has done for you. Sing praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets, the sound of the horn. Sing joyfully before the King, the Lord. My goodness, think of, I love football, by the way, And I love watching a game now and then when I can, which isn't very often. But I love it, especially college football. But you see the roar of that crowd when a very good play is made or a touchdown occurs. You hear the roar of that crowd. Brothers and sisters, God ought to be hearing that before his throne daily for what he has done for us. He saved us from eternal death. We need to be praising him, thanking him, glorifying him, so that our voices can rise up to the very throne room of God, carried by the Holy Spirit, infinitely louder than what we hear at a football game or baseball game. Think about that. We say, oh yeah, yeah, God, thank you. When he saved you for all eternity, oh yeah, thank you. Our lives should be lives of gratitude. Our orientation should be, Lord, let me live this day in gratitude for what you have given me and in petition for what I need. That's how we should live our lives. Thank you. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said of Jesus, he's possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons. You know, he comes from the devil. The scribes, who ought to know better. What's happened? They're threatened by him. They're threatened by him and his teaching. It doesn't follow their obedience to every jot and tittle of the old law. They're supposed to be praying for the longed-for one, the Messiah. But they've got a comfortable place, you see, in an authority and position and honor. And so they become blinded. Those things can blind us to the true light, brothers and sisters, and then we stumble in the darkness and wonder why. Summoning them. So Jesus, he wades in when it's appropriate. Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. Whoa. What does that mean? I don't have time on this program to cover it completely. But what it means is that there are many people who reject Christ, who literally turn away from him and choose the way of evil. And because they choose the way of evil, they cannot even think of repenting. Hence, they die in their sin. God offers it. Again and again, he will always forgive. But you can become so mired in sin, so mired in pride and arrogance, that you can no longer see. You become deaf and blind to the truth. And that honestly happens, brothers and sisters. And we end up, in a sense, worshiping what we should be turning away from and rejecting what we should be turning toward, Jesus. Sometimes, you know, even for very good reasons, we can be so caught up in the law that we become blind and deaf to what God is saying. The enemy works in various ways. Either way, he can push us off track. Because pride and arrogance blind and deafen. Oh, I'm not proud. Of course I'm not proud. I'm just being obedient. But what is it doing to you? Is it making you more loving? Is it making you more forgiving? Is it causing you to see your sin, your own sins more clearly and to repent of them more frequently? Where are you? What we don't want is Satan to blind and deafen us. And he can do it even by pushing us while we're doing good works to go too far, to take the credit to ourselves, to pat ourselves on the back, to see ourselves as the source of whatever it is that people are praising us for. We can go that way. And it only ends in deafness and blindness. And we wonder at some point why we're unhappy, if we're honest enough with ourselves. It's because the end can never justify the means. Well, you know, I'm going to do this. This will bring many, many people to the Lord. But I'm going to do it in my own way, and I'm going to make as much money out of it as I can. But if I produce a good product, isn't that good? I'll rebuild the church, but I'm going to do it for my own benefit, my own advantage, and people will honor me more. Do you think the Lord loves what you're doing? Do you think the Lord accepts the external action, even if the external action is good? Do you think the Lord accepts that? When your motive is self, self, self. See how easy it is? It really is very easy to walk in the darkness and think or try to convince yourself that you're walking in the light. And we're not. And we can end up unclean. We want to be humble. We want to thank the Lord when people compliment us on something. Thank them. Don't deny it. Thank them. But as soon as you can, honor the Lord for it. You know, oftentimes if people compliment me on something, I just say, well, the source is not in me. The source is in Jesus. I was able to be used, but I'm not the source. That's the kind of humility God needs so that he can work through us and so that he can receive the glory and the honor that he deserves. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.